Good morning. Lucid Talk have carried out the survey. What has it found? Let me speak to Bill White, who's on this line. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Frank.
Bill, many interesting questions asked by the professionals carrying out the survey, including, should there be a border poll and in what time scale? What was the outcome on that one?
Well, it came in, we gave a number of options to that. Within 5 years, within 10 years, yes, there should be one, but away beyond 10 years, no, there should never be a referendum. So that were the four options. The first option came in as not a majority, but 47% of people said yes, there should be a border referendum within 5 years, with 15%, 14.8% coming in saying yes within 10 years. So the combined result is that 62% say there should be a Northern Ireland border poll within 10 years, 17% said yes, but far into the future, and then 18%, nearly one in five, which, you know, when you analyse it, comes 98% from the unionist community, nearly one in five think no, there should never be a Northern Ireland border referendum. So that's what that question showed, Frank.
Having a border poll or wanting to have a border poll doesn't necessarily mean you want a united Ireland.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, there's within that minority of, within that group, you say they want it within 5 years, is obviously 90-95% of nationalists feel that. You know, anecdotally, we know that's the policy of the main nationalists and Republican Party, Sinn Féin and the SDLP. But there is a minority of unionists within that who are saying things like, we pick up all the comments in the polling as well, Frank, and we get literally thousands of comments. A number of comments are saying, look, bring it on. There's going to be one away into the future anyway, so let's bring it on now. I'm a unionist. I believe we can get a big result. So let's have the border poll. Let's clarify. Let's, you know, lance this boil, as it were. The majority of unions don't have that view, but there's a minority of unionists do, combined with the nationalists, Republicans, SDLP, Sinn Féin type supporters. That leads up to the fairly substantial number, nearly one in two, who think we should have a border poll within 5 years.
If there was a border poll, is there agreement on what the winning point should be? Would it be 50% point one?
Yes, that's a question actually we put in just in the last week. We got it approved. We got all our questions approved as neutral, and it took us a little bit of, you know, a couple of days. It actually was prompted in the last week by Leo Varadkar's comments, as you know, in that interview, and then Bertie Ahern made some similar comments. So we did ask the question, should the winning post be 50% plus one, 66% plus, 70% plus? Funny enough, we got a majority back, and this is the Northern Ireland result. A majority, 54%, think it should be 50% plus one. Again, the same sort of pattern as to the first question in terms of the timescale for the border poll, in that is 98% of the SDLP, Sinn Féin, sort of Republican voters, and a lot of the middle ground Alliance voters, also a minority of unionists, and again, the comments are suggesting what they're thinking. The unionists are saying, look, if it's any more than 50%, we have to move towards a united Ireland. It's not practical, Northern Ireland's not viable. It would be very unstable if you just ignored, say, 55% of people said, we want a united Ireland, and then said, oh, well, the winning post is 60%, we'll just carry on as usual. They're saying in a practical, real-life situation that wouldn't work. So, surprisingly enough, that's come back. A majority think the 50% plus one is the winning post. But of course, there's a lot of comments saying if there's a narrow result that have to be maybe a 15-20 year transfer period, it should be done gently, you know. But again, that's up to the politicians. We're just asking the basic questions that would be asked in a referendum, Frank, you know.
So they'll settle for 50% plus one. With regards to, I suppose, one of the most important questions, considering where we are today, if there was a Northern Ireland border poll tomorrow, what way would you vote?
Well, that's the key base question in all this. We modelled the question on the question that was used for the EU referendum, as we think that's the most likely type of question that would be asked on a referendum. And of course, Frank, as you know, as I well know, there'll be a debate for several months. You know, if this did come into the live political arena of having a border poll, there'd be huge debate on what actually the question would be, never mind when it should be run or whatever. So we said, should Northern Ireland remain a part of the United Kingdom or leave the United Kingdom and join the Republic of Ireland as one nation state? 55% are coming in saying remain, should remain in the United Kingdom. 33.7%, nearly 34% saying it should leave the United Kingdom. This is, of course, if the referendum was held tomorrow, as you said. A reasonably high number, 1 in 10, 9.8% of people are undecided. They say they will vote, but they want to listen to the debate. They'd want to listen to the campaign. Then they'd make up their mind. And a very small number just saying, like, I wouldn't take part in that, about 1%. So it's coming in 55 to 34%, 56 to 34%, with about 10%. wanting to see the campaign, and then they'll make up their mind, the undecideds at this stage. So that I should have said, Frank, right at the start, this is a balanced sample of 2,080 responses, balanced to be representative of Northern Ireland, you know, the right number of representative number of, if you like, Catholics, Protestants, rural, urban, age group, gender as well. So it's a fairly, it's a very robust representative result of what Northern Ireland is thinking currently today.
And where we're going with Brexit is crucial to this, isn't it?
Well, it is. We did then ask the Remain voters, people who said, right, we're going to revoke Remain if the referendum was held tomorrow. That was your question. Then we clicked in. If they answered that Remain, we asked them, look, you say you're voting Remain. What type of Remain voter are you? How is Brexit affecting your decision? And it came back, for example, on the Remain side, saying that about 60, nearly 70% of people... Nearly 60% of people are saying Northern Ireland should remain in the UK regardless of the EU and Brexit. Those are, if you like, the good traditional unionists. But there's about 1 in 10 of the Remain voters, these are the people who are unionists voting Remain, who's saying, well, look, if Brexit did go wrong, if there was what in their terms is a hard Brexit, if the economic situation of Northern Ireland was declining because, or perceived to be declining because it was outside the EU or the single market and North-South trade was more difficult, all that sort of stuff, wasn't looking good, they would consider voting Leave. So they would switch from Remain to Leave if Brexit looked as if it wasn't turning out to be advantageous to them in their context of living in Northern Ireland. There's a little going the other way, but it's mostly, you know, the Remain voters switching to Leave. Then we asked the same question of the Leave voters, and there's a smaller number saying they'd consider voting, switching from Leave to Remain if the UK abandoned Brexit instead inside the European Union, or there was a soft Brexit or whatever. These things are pretty hard to define, but these questions were just to get a feel for what the swing would be. The crucial thing, Frank, is, though, we have another group, which is important, which, remember, in Northern Ireland, I mean, the election shows this, you know, the combined SDLP Sinn Féin vote and the combined unionist vote, they're within 4 and 5%. I mean, it's quite close, those two big blocks. As we know, Sinn Féin and the DUP at Stormont are more or less equal. You know, they're pretty, obviously, in terms of number of seats, obviously, the DUP are a bit ahead slightly, or... But so the crucial group in all this sort of referendum, the sort of decider, the referee in the middle, if you like, is the Alliance Green Others votes. And there'd be a lot of others, people who don't normally vote in this type of referendum. They're very strong pro-Europe. And they're very concerned if there's a bad Brexit in their terms, that group, a large, large chunk of that group would consider voting Leave to join the Irish Republic within the EU. So Brexit is a big, big factor in this, as you have just said. We did then reallocate this. We did a model of reallocating these votes, sort of bad case scenario for both sides. The best case scenario for the pro-union side, that's if Brexit went well, a lot of the Lions-type voters thought it was worth staying, you know, it's a soft Brexit, or even if we left the single market, Northern Ireland was going to, you know, boom economically, all looking very good. They would consider voting stay, remain in the UK. They would come in at 62%, and the Leave side would be 37%. But if Brexit went badly and it affected those Alliance-type voters, then it would be 54% Remain, 46% Leave. That's excluding the Don, the Don't-Knows, and the non-voters. Just to give you a feel for it, basically what it's saying is, Frank, that Brexit has a big effect on this, and if it goes in what the people think badly, or a large chunk of the people think badly, Brexit, then it could lead in a border poll to a pretty close result. Still, we'd be pro-Northern Ireland Remain in the UK, but it could be 54-46, you know, 55-45, 53-47, that sort of area. It wouldn't be the 60-40 type result that we, perhaps some people thought it might be in this type of poll, you know?
Okay, Bill, just stay with me. Thank you, Bill White from Lucid Talk, the main man behind this professional poll that has been carried out. I want to speak to a very interested party, the DUP MLA, Christopher Stalford. Christopher Stalford, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
When you listen to the outcome of this, you guys in the DUP must be regretting being so pro-leave the European Union.
No, not at all. I think the fact is that even in the worst case scenario that was outlined by Bill just there now, a majority of people would vote to remain within the United Kingdom. I think that unionism has a job to do. We saw in the Scottish referendum, the separatists, the SNP, were very big on outlining the vision thing, as George H.W. Bush called it. And they had a positive vision of what they said Scotland would look like if it left the United Kingdom. The unionist side largely concentrated on pointing out the flaws in this argument. And when you're pointing out flaws, you're pointing out negatives, and instead of outlining a positive vision. And I think that that's the challenge for unionism going forward. It's encouraging in one sense to show that support for the union is actually considerably higher than support for unionist parties at elections. And that's a challenge for those of us who are involved in unionist politics, to outline a positive vision as to why it's better to stay in the United Kingdom for all of the people of Northern Ireland, rather than concentrating on what the flaws would be with the idea of going into United Ireland. So I think that it's encouraging to show that even in the worst case scenario, a majority of people would vote for the union. I think this is interesting in as far as it goes. As a look into the future, 5, 10 years, whatever. Ultimately, in terms of the here and now, we have a situation where Northern Ireland has been without a government for 8 months. And I think that that is starting to really impact upon people's lives. And I think people want that issue resolved. They want a government up and running at Stormont. And I think that, rather than looking 10 years into the future, I think we need to be dealing with the here and now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people will agree with you in relation to getting a government going at Stormont. But 10 years isn't a long time in politics. They say a week is, but 10 years isn't, if you follow me.
And, no, that's right.
And the bare reality is this issue of a border poll is being talked about much, much more than it would have been in the past. Are you not prepared to go with a border poll and prove Sinn Féin wrong on it?
Well, look, I mean, a border poll wouldn't hold any fear for me. I think that the argument in terms of staying within the United Kingdom is one that can be made, and that was shown in Scotland. From my perspective, with everything that's going on regarding Brexit, the fact that we don't have a government at Stormont, this is a very unstable situation in Northern Ireland at the present time. To throw a border poll into that mix, I think would create further instability and would further polarise the community.
How much unrest would it lead to?
Oh, I can't quantify that, but I know that we've just come through the Assembly election. I think most observers would agree was a pretty brutal affair. The Westminster election was also rough, and I think that there has been a polarisation within the community. I think to throw the base constitutional question onto the table as well, I think would lead to a massive polarisation in our community and create further instability in our society.
But would it be massive protests at every city hall, town hall? Would it be an Ulster workers' strike sort of scenario if there was to be a border poll? Is that how loyalists would feel about it?
Well, no. I mean, the UWC strike was 9 years before I was born, Frank, but so I can't comment on what that was like as a situation beyond what I've read in books.
Well, I know. Like, loyalists don't have the majority of the jobs in all of the places that they used to have the way they did, but they could still come out and protest en masse. We saw it over a flag at the City Hall. Surely it would be mayhem. Are you not prepared to admit that?
No, it's not. It's not a case of being prepared to admit it. I think it's a case that, in the event of a referendum, I think that our task has to be to outline a positive vision for the union, rather than focusing on what I think the inevitable downsides would be for people here of a United Ireland. And that's the task that unionism has to confront. It's no longer enough to point out the flaws in the United Ireland argument. Our job as unionists going forward has to be to say to all of our citizens, regardless of which party they vote for, in Assembly, Westminster Council elections, etc., our task going forward has to be to say, whether you consider yourself British or Irish, your best interests are served as remaining a part of the United Kingdom. And whether you're British or Irish, that can be accommodated and given space within the structures of the United Kingdom. And whether you're British or Irish, your future and your children's future is better off as Northern Ireland remaining a part of the United Kingdom. And I think that we have a positive case that we can sell, but there's no point in denying times are extremely turbulent. I mean, the bizarre is now the new normal in politics. You know, we've had the election of Donald Trump, the near election of Marine Le Pen, the outcome of the EU referendum.
And a rather conciliatory sounding DUP representative. So is there a suggestion there that maybe look at it the other way around, that slowly, but very slowly, you might be realising that an All-Ireland answer to this could be a way ahead?
No, I'm a unionist to my core, to my fingertips. I believe in the United Kingdom. I believe that Northern Ireland is best placed as staying a part of the United Kingdom. But I also recognise, and I also believe, that there are people who presently, whether it's out of culture or habit, vote for nationalist parties who, when exposed to the arguments in favour of the union, would embrace them and would vote to remain within the United Kingdom. But from my perspective, I think given where things are at presently, politically in Northern Ireland, I just don't think that, I think that people want our focus to be on dealing with the here and now, which is dealing with the challenges that are arising out of Brexit and getting a government up and running at Stormont to deal with all of the issues that affect every citizen, regardless of their constitutional preference. And I think that that's where we need to be going. That's where we need to be heading. I think that's what people want.
Okay. Christopher Stalford, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. I don't want to go too much on the Stormont situation at this present moment in time, but there are many questions we could ask on that. But there are other questions about this border poll that I want to put to Sinn Féin. And Matt Carthy is going to speak to us in just a moment.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Good morning to you. Matt Carthy is an MEP for Sinn Féin. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Matt, you need Brexit to go really badly wrong for Britain to convince people to even consider a united Ireland.
Absolutely. I don't want to see Brexit go wrong. In fact, Brexit is going very, very wrong, especially for all of Ireland and in particularly for the North. The challenges that are being presented are disastrous and potentially catastrophic in terms of Theresa May's outlined vision for Brexit, if you could be generous enough to call it a vision. The truth of the matter is that Sinn Féin have been engaged at a level that is matched by no other party in terms of trying to ensure that the outworkings of Brexit are minimised to the greatest degree and that we try and salvage some economic, political and social stability out of a very dangerous position that the British government and their colleagues in the DUP, it has to be said, have left us in.
Yeah, but the more that's salvaged, the less chance there is of people wanting to have a united Ireland. There are many people who are convinced that Brexit's going the right way, but those who have their worries and their concerns, when those fears are allayed, you'll have a situation where anyone considering maybe the positive outcome of, or the hope of, the alternative of a border poll leading to a united Ireland would be drawn back to the pound in their pocket.
No, well, I think in relation to Brexit, and I'll just deal with this point first and foremost, we're on the record. Our efforts have shown the level of intensity that which Sinn Féin have been putting into our efforts to ensure that the north of Ireland in particular, but the entire island, is protected insofar as possible. The unfortunate truth is that Brexit is going to have a negative impact. And insofar as how that relates to the issue regarding the future constitutional status of the North, I think it is absolutely clear that while many people haven't yet fully made up their mind, there is a willingness that hasn't been there for some time among a lot of sections of the community to at least have a conversation about a united Ireland. I think the important thing to note with regard to this poll is the fact that it has taken place in somewhat of a vacuum, because the conversation hasn't taken place. There were people who were polled who I have no doubt are unaware that every independent economic study that has ever been carried out, for example, shows that all of Ireland, and in particularly the North, would receive an economic boost as a result of unification. People aren't aware of that. I think there are lots of people who would have answered questions who aren't aware of what the constitutional or political makeup of the North would be in the event of a united Ireland. So what I would see as a challenge for those of us who desperately want to see a united Ireland, who believe that a united Ireland would be in the best interest of everybody on our island over the next number of months and years, is to set out that constitutional and political position, so that when we get to the point where we do have a poll, that people will know what they're voting for, and that they will know and see very clearly that it is in their best interest to see Irish unification.
Yes, but the British economy is stronger than the Irish economy, and people in Northern Ireland can easily argue that they've got the benefit of being British.
Well, there's two points in relation to that. The truth of the matter is that economically the North is way behind not only the rest of Ireland but actually also Britain, and the reason being is because we're too small of a country to have two of everything. For example, we have two health services, we have two transport systems, we have two civil services. All of these things are ludicrous when you consider at the end of the day we're an island of about 6.5 million people on the edge of Europe. With regard to people who consider themselves British, I think one of the commitments that we need to make, and one of the foundation blocks for this conversation moving forward, is that those people who consider themselves and identify themselves as being British will be able to continue to do that after in the event of a united Ireland. So that's one of the challenges that are set out for me. In terms of the figures, and you know, some people would say that they're unsurprising, I think there are a number of elements to this poll, including the finding that a significant majority of those people in the age 18 to 44 age group are strongly in favour of a united Ireland. So to me, what that says to everybody is this is a conversation that we need to have. Young people are very clearly moving in the direction of wanting to see a united Ireland. The united Ireland is certainly the positive message. It's the message for those people who want to remain part of the European Union, as has been outlined. But it's also the message for those people who want to see us as a people right across our island reaching our full potential. Because the truth of the matter is the partition has stunted our economic, social and political progress as a people, and the only way in which we can move on from all the negative consequences of partition is to move towards a united Ireland in which everybody feels comfortable and has the opportunity to prosper. So
yeah,
I think that's
everybody,
our challenge. And
Matt, everybody, that word everybody's important in this. Do you really believe that the Republic of Ireland, the citizens of the Republic of Ireland, want everybody, including the loyalist backlash that would come from being shoehorned into a united Ireland?
Well, a vast, vast majority of people, and every single poll that has been carried out in the 26 counties has shown a significant majority in favour of reunification. In relation to, you know, any prospect of a loyalist backlash, as you call it, I think we have a responsibility to ensure that people know that they have nothing to fear from a united Ireland. So while I don't expect the people who vote for Christopher Stalford to ever walk into a polling station and vote for a united Ireland, what I do expect of myself and of those of us who are advocating for unity, that we will set out the terms in which they have nothing to fear from the outcome of that referendum, regardless of whether it goes the way that they might prefer or not. And then there are clearly, within the wider electorate, a large cohort of people who are open to be persuaded. And I believe when we start putting the economic, the constitutional, the political and the social, as well as outlining our position within the European Union, people will see increasingly that a united Ireland is the best way for us to move forward in order to reach our full potential, in order to deliver an economic future that will allow us to sustain ourselves and allow us to prosper into the years ahead. And what I would say now as a result of this poll, we need to bring the debate on. We need to have the conversation in a way in which it's inclusive and it's a constructive, and that it includes all constitutional options in terms of what a united Ireland would look like, and that we ensure at this point, and that's why I think it's really important that people like Christopher engage, because we need unionist representatives to be involved in this debate. They need to influence. They can't just remain apart from the conversation, because attempting to do so, in my view, amounts to head in the sand politics and does nothing to serve the interests of the people that the unionist parties are representing. So, as I say, the British identity of many of the people in the North can and must be accommodated in a new agreed united Ireland. We need to put in place and set out now the constitutional political safeguards that would allow that to happen. And we also need to outline what it is we see united Ireland looking like in terms of the economy, in terms of the political framework.
Okay.
Because what I don't want to see, and I just want to make this point in particular, Frank, what I don't want to see in the event of a unity referendum taking place is for us to be in the same position that the DUP and the Tory government have left us in regarding Brexit, in that we don't know what the final outworking is like. I want to make sure that when we go to the polls, that people know exactly what it is that they're voting for, and those who vote for a united Ireland can have full confidence that they're voting for the best political, economic future for them and for their children.
So you definitely don't want a poll in the near future?
I want a poll within the next 5 years, but I want it to...
Do you really think you could get all of that across in the next 5 years?
Listen, I think politics...
That's getting people to stand on their heads.
Well, the way I look at it, and again, this poll shows that a majority of people largely are in favour of a debate taking place within the next 5 to 10 years. What I am saying is, let's have the conversation now. Let's set out the framework for which a poll will take place, and let everybody be confident enough in their position that we can accept the democratic decision of the people. I believe so strongly that a united Ireland serves the best interests of everybody on this island, that I believe the sooner it happens, the better it will be for everybody. So therefore, it's my responsibility, and I accept that this is a challenge for us within Sinn Féin and others who advocate for a united Ireland, particularly other political parties who advocate for a united Ireland, to come together now and start setting out the framework in which, first of all, a poll would take place, and secondly, in terms of the message and the vision for a united Ireland that we would put forward in that poll. Because it's my firm conviction that if we do so, and if we have the opportunity to set out that positive vision for Irish unity, then we can absolutely secure a majority for that position, north and south.
Okay, Matt Carthy from Sinn Féin, thanks for coming on. Thank you. That is Matt Carthy, who's an MEP for Sinn Féin. 90-333-105 is our main number. 077-66-105-105. So much talk about the border poll. Okay, yes, we have this Lucid Talk survey that we're bringing you the details of this morning. This is the reason that we're talking to it. Bill, we've heard from you. We've heard from the politicians as well. There's going to be more and more conversation, more debate, more discussion as we go forward on this.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think it's in the political arena now, Frank, as you have just said. It's going to happen at some stage. I think everybody accepts that. So now the debate is going to just increase as we progress towards a decision whether there should be a border poll or not. Hence the point that there is a minority of unionists who are saying it may be a good idea to do this within the next 5 years. They think they probably have a better chance of getting a better result, because with demographics changing and time changing, you know, as we move forward into the future, if we wait for 10 or 15 years looking at it from a unionist perspective, you know, they could be in a difficult position there, because the demographics are showing that there's more, it's not necessarily people who vote for United Ireland, but there's more of a market there, if you like, for the pro-United Ireland position. So it's a difficult one for unionists on the political sense. I would say that just listening to the commentators there, it's always difficult in a referendum. Once you get into a campaign in a referendum, the research shows there's a higher level of changing of mind in terms of, and we saw this in the Scottish referendum, we saw this in the EU referendum, and we even know it anecdotally talking to friends and colleagues and relatives, etc. People change their minds more during a campaign, a referendum campaign of this nature. So it would be a very interesting campaign. It certainly would be from a media interest, very high interest, but there would be a lot of changing of mind. We'd have to watch the polling during the campaign to see what way the argument is going. But there is a scenario that if Brexit doesn't turn out well for Northern Ireland in terms of the views of the people here, or a large chunk of the people here, the result could be very, very close. It could be.
And just finally and briefly, Bill, the number of unionists getting Irish passports, people are saying that proves they're not unionists. That's a red herring, isn't it?
Well, I think in the context of this, it certainly would be a part of the debate, Frank, but from a personal point of view, I think it's a bit of a red herring, as far as I don't think that'll come into the border poll debate whatsoever. But certainly it's an indication of those people are probably potential, even if they're unionists and getting an Irish passport. You would see them as potential people who may be persuaded, possibly, to vote for United Ireland in a border poll, because they're indicating that their European status, or their feeling of being Irish, or is probably their feeling of being European and wanting to be part of the EU, single market, all that sort of thing, is one of the factors that they've got in their mindset.
Is it not just to get through airports quicker?
It's not just to get through airports quicker, I agree with you. They're just concerned that Brexit may not turn out to be as good as people think. Their Irish passport may become important in terms of doing trade, in terms of doing other things. Obviously, you know, it's a whole variation of people who are applying for these Irish passports. I would say just one point, just to go over a little bit of a tangent.
Okay, just as briefly as you can.
Yeah, well, see, on the 50% plus one thing, you know, it's showing that a majority of people here would still stick with the 50% plus one. Just to be fair to Leo Varadkar, and I think, you know, what Bertie Ahern was saying, I think what they're saying is if it was a very close result, the trend would have to be towards United Ireland if there's a majority for a United Ireland in Northern Ireland, but it would have to be done over a very, very, it would have to be done in a very careful and gentle way, as it were. I think that's what he was getting at.
Okay, Bill, thank you. I've got to speak to Jamie about this in a moment.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105, here for you.
Quite a few of you in the text saying the Republic of Ireland couldn't afford us. Let me speak to Jamie DeLargy, business commentator, business writer. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
So just on that, could the Republic of Ireland afford a border poll to go in favour of a united Ireland?
Well, of course it could. Everybody in the south would be a lot poorer, but they could afford it. It's just whether they'd be willing to pay the price. I mean, they would need to come up with something like close to £10 billion just to subsidise the Northern Ireland economy, which is, you know, hugely dependent, as they've indicated there, on handouts from Westminster. So, I mean, naturally they could afford it, but it would take them back, I don't know how many decades in terms of their wealth.
Not so, according to the gentleman from Sinn Féin, Matt Carthy. He says there's so much money pumped into the new initiative that everyone would be much better off.
Well, you know, people can make all sorts of claims, and I wouldn't want to challenge a particular point of view, except, you know, you only say that people are entitled to their own opinions, but they're not entitled to the facts, to their own facts. And the facts are that it would cost a huge amount of money. I'm not saying that the people in the south would vote against a united Ireland. I mean, as Matt Carthy indicated, there has been a consistent majority in favour. But it definitely, it's affordable, but it would make the country a lot poorer. In fact, it would make the whole island a lot poorer unless Westminster was persuaded to continue forking out a top-up subsidy of £10 billion a year, in and around that number. And I mean, it is extraordinary to think that, you know, they can't agree, that the two parties you had on there, they can't even agree to have a government at Stormont, but everything would be everybody's sweetness and light once we get across the border. The fact of the matter is we would just take our horrible quarrel intact down into the Dáil, and the rowing would just continue in a different forum. It's not as if things would sort themselves out because we're united Ireland. I don't see how, you know, when we can't agree anything here, that somehow if it were all now in a new context, i.e. of united Ireland, that all the differences between unionists and nationalists would disappear. I mean, you would just see the same rowing, and with possibly the addition of, you know, a little bit of loyalist counter-violence. You know, so you're talking about a scenario which is not terribly attractive, but if that were the democratic will of the people, you know, that's what should happen, in my view. I mean, everybody's accepted there should be a border poll. If there were to be a majority, then I think you could not, as in the case of Brexit, whether you liked it or not, you could not go against it. I think one of the questions which Bill White's poll touched on, which was interesting, is whether it should be 50% plus one, or should it be 66% or 70%, or, you know, should it be at a higher level? And that's a very interesting debate. And clearly what you saw was all the unionists think it should be higher than 50%, and all the nationalists, largely speaking, think that it should be 50% plus one. 50% plus one, yeah, it's the law currently, but I can't see it being a very stable outcome. If we had a poll tomorrow and there was 50% plus one voted for United Ireland, and it turned out, and then, as I say, the unification happened, I think it would be a recipe for instability, for calls for another referendum, for massive re-registering, for people whose children had gone to England, the unionists I'm talking, families, to get their children re-registered back home. You know, there would be an enormous effort to try and reverse the decision. So that would cause further instability for years and years following the the initial success will result from the nationalist point of view.
Just on the issue of the passports and the number of unionists who now have an Irish passport, do you find that they're doing that simply to get through airports quicker? Are they doing that because they're thinking about jobs in the future that may be from a European perspective? Or are they simply making the best of what's available, keeping all their options open? Or is there a possibility that they're becoming more Irish?
That people, there's a lot of because in a sense those who ring your program and programs like it have a very strong vested point of view. You know, they really believe in unionism or in nationalism. That's why they take the time to ring up. You get a bit of a skewed view of just what's the entire population. There are many, many people out there, a very substantial percentage, I'm not saying it's a majority, but a very substantial middle ground that probably doesn't even vote anymore, that really would take an entirely pragmatic view, whether they're Catholic or Protestant. Look, is this going to be good for me? Is this going to help me? Is it going to get me through the airports quickly? Is it going to help to go and get work in Europe if I have to do that? Can it help me with study if I need that? You know, so I think there's an enormous number of people who really don't ring your program and don't ring programs like it because they don't feel very strongly. They're just going to do what seems sensible for themselves and their family and friends. And I think those people are probably busy, whether they're unionist or nationalist. Many nationalists will already have an Irish passport, but those unionists are saying, you know what? I say unionists. I mean people from a unionist background or a Protestant background are thinking, look, if this is going to help me, why not? I don't feel too strongly about it. I probably feel culturally Irish, some of them. They probably don't feel, I mean, in the sense of somebody said to them, you know, are you English? No. Are you Scottish? Are you Welsh? No, no, I'm Irish. But that doesn't mean to say they would vote for United Ireland. They just feel, you know, this is where they're at home. You know, this is a sort of sense of, they have a sense of belonging here. But you can't translate that into the way they would vote on something. But as far as they're concerned, an Irish passport, if it helps them, fine. They don't think it's selling out their birthright or anything like that. As I say, there are plenty of sensible people here, and I'm not suggesting the people who ring your program are not, but you know, there are a lot of people who just treat it as
are you suggesting here, Mr. Delaghi, that people like you who are invited commentators are better skilled at providing wisdom than those who lift the phone?
I'm suggesting that it's people who feel strongly about things that'll tend to ring up. It's people who want to complain about something. And it's a lot of people who really actually probably don't feel so motivated that they're the ones who probably, they're probably more of them not ringing than ringing, if you know what I mean. So I'm not suggesting that those people who call phone-in programs are necessarily...
Thick.
I didn't say thick. And actually, I would never use that term of anybody at all. But what I'm saying is they all have a vested interest. I mean, you don't get people ringing up the program and saying, well, do you know what, I'm really not quite sure whether I'm a unionist or a nationalist. I don't feel very strongly about that. I don't have any views. Actually, I have no idea why I've picked up the phone because I don't actually have anything very, very urgent to say. It's so... I think there's a large number of people, and they don't vote anymore. They just have given up. They've given up on... they have the choice of voting for the Alliance Party, but for one reason or another, not all of them take that option, and they just have just opted out. And those people will just do what's sensible.
Jamie, always interesting hearing from you. Thank you very much indeed. Jamie Delaghi, business commentator. Sammy, who we would never describe as thick, has lifted the phone. Sammy, good morning. Good morning to you. He's actually on line 3. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning, Frank. I might class myself as thick, but one point. Before a referendum on a United Ireland, we don't have a government at the minute, but if we did get a government, they should run this country like the South for 2 months, and I'll guarantee that they will not vote for a United Ireland, because you would have higher taxes on your car. You would have no health service. You have to pay for it all. You have to pay for your medicine. An army of things.
Well, it's not that you would have no health service, but I do know what you mean. There are significant payments in the Republic that you don't make here.
I have high blood pressure. Of course, I did a lot in the South with selling horses. And if you go beyond Dundalk, they don't really want us. Now, the South is saying, or that Sinn Féin boy was saying, that he needs, they couldn't support us, because Britain helped the South out with giving them 7, it wasn't Europe. Europe wanted to bankrupt Ireland. Now, actually, Ireland would be better out of Brexit, out of Europe, along with Britain.
Do you not think the Republic of Ireland will benefit, that the European Union will make sure the Republic of Ireland is a healthy, vibrant financial establishment when Britain exits?
It was Britain that helped them whenever they give them 7 billion. Now, if Britain said tomorrow that, right, my opinion, Britain gives European Union something like 56 billion a week. Or a million a week.
Yeah, that's a pretty big figure. But go ahead, Sammy, go ahead.
And they give the South Ireland the 7. If they said to the Doyle tomorrow, we want our 7 billion back, the Doyle couldn't give it.
Sammy, no faith whatsoever in the Republic of Ireland's ability to run another 6 counties. And one point from John. Good morning, John.
Hello, Frank.
Yes, John.
Well, what I was thinking about was what happens if England does go out, does have Brexit, and they make a great success of it? What happens to all the European countries then, and Ireland too?
Well, what happens to the border poll idea? Because that's what we're talking about this morning. If they make a success of Brexit, if Brexit turns out to be some sort of glorious land and Britain is so benefiting from Brexit, well then the border poll is going to go against the likes of Sinn Féin, isn't it?
It is, I would say that. But I was born here in Northern Ireland. Yes, we're connected to England. I'm connected to Ireland. I'm Northern Ireland. I've Northern Ireland passport. I'm a Northern Ireland person. It's our own wee country. You know, England, or once you go over into Europe, you have France, Germany, all the rest of it. They all have borders. They all have, they're all individuals, people, they all have their own identity. They don't have to be linked into each other's country just because they're attached to each other's country.
Are you suggesting that Northern Ireland could go it alone?
Why not? It sure couldn't be any worse than we are.
John, I think we'd have a challenge, would we not, to go it alone? At what point would we stop looking for some sort of block grant or European funding? Well, you know, how would we survive?
I don't know, but your Monaco does it.
Monaco?
Yeah.
It's a slightly different situation, John, slightly different. However, you know, it's another part of the argument. An independent Northern Ireland out there on your own.